one thing about these two, they feel their songs. I'm reminded that, some of the secular songs, one of them written about Hank Williams said, "Can you bend the strings to touch their hearts?" That's what they do. God gave them the talent, but they touch because they believe it and they've lived it. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. I know we've gone a little longer than normal with everything, but again, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I will be fairly quick with this, but I invite you, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40. The title of the message is Unencumbered. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Oftentimes, while you're searching for that, we either whether it's coming to the Lord or after we know Him and what He's asked us to do or lays upon our heart, we get encumbered by what will everybody think? What will people say? Those type, and that is the unencumbered. Their last song talked about Jesus wasn't encumbered by how it would look for Him to hang on a cross for you and I. Nor should we be encumbered by the world, what it thinks of the gospel. There's mention made here about people trying to do different things. We do have the right always to disagree with our leaders. But this is past that. This is the devil in the death throes, and he is trying to stir up all that he can. Do not lose faith. Folks, what I would tell you, do not lose faith. God is in control. And I agree with what Mike said. Whether we see it good or bad, remember the scripture of Romans 8. It says all things work to the glory of God. Luke chapter 8, I invite you to stand on to the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged Him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and that she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng, and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive the power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Him. She declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him and how she had been healed immediately. And He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while He was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to Him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, He answered and saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When He came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside and took her by the hand and calling, saying, "Little girl, arise." And then the spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. You may be seated. I led in the preface of this to the song that Stephen and Cherie just sang about it. He took my nails. He was not encumbered by what the world would say. He was not encumbered by what would be done to him as he was arrested, although lied against and none of the charges were true. He had done nothing wrong. He had not even a sin, but he was the perfect man, as we know, and that was why he was the perfect sacrifice of reconciliation for you and I. Here we see that an example in our world. Notice here is a ruler of the synagogue. It was those very people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the rulers of the synagogue, that wanted to see Christ put on a cross and crucified. And just as we talked about in our day, they stirred up the people with a lot of lies. And we know as we come into this Easter time that one Sunday he comes into the town and everybody praises him, singing hallelujah, hosanna, and within 1 week it is crucify him. It did not deter him whatsoever. He was on a mission focused on God. He prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but your will." We have that opportunity and the same charge from our Heavenly Father if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. He has something for us to do. Throughout our lives, that plan may change. It may be a lifelong plan. But he brings people and takes us into places where we have an opportunity to do his work. You see, for we are his hands, we are his feet. In World War II, and I probably spoke of this story once before, but I'll reiterate it. In all of the bombings of World War II, over in France was a statue of Jesus in one of the churches. The statue still stood, but it had no hands, it had no feet. They had been blown off with all the bombing. We're the hands. We're the feet. We carry the gospel. We reach out and touch people. Just as Jesus did that we see here. This man from the synagogue comes, and he's not, because of the love for his daughter, he's not worried about what the other rulers will say. More than likely, he'll be ousted from that church and ousted from his position. He could care less. His daughter was what was most important. And he came to the very man that he knew in his heart could heal her. And not only did he bow down before him, but it says, as we read in the scripture, he begged him. This wasn't a command. It was the love of a father's request and pleading for Jesus to touch his daughter, his only daughter. Jesus agreed to go to his house, but before they go there, there's a woman who touches the hem of his garment for the bleeding disease that she had. Now, you have to understand the day and the time for a woman to have been in that situation. She didn't live in a neighborhood with the other friends. She was set out on the outskirts of town, somewhere between town and where they would put the lepers. She was ostracized. She bore no children. She had no husband. She was constantly in pain. She was constantly hurting. She constantly had this blood flow for whatever it is. And you can imagine this is for over 12 years. Yet she believes if she can just get close enough, he doesn't even have to speak. All she wants to do is she can just touch any part of him and his garment. Her faith says she will be healed. And in fact, we saw it. And she did it in a manner where mostly nobody would recognize her, yet Jesus stops. And he says, "Who touched me?" Now suddenly, it's no longer anonymous being healed, The focus is on her. And notice in the scripture what it says there when he stops and he asks. And it says that she bows down before him and confesses to him and declares to him in the presence, in verse 47, in the presence of all the people. We looked last Sunday where it was a blind man. And everybody questioned whether he had sinned or his parents had sinned. Something bad happens. It's got to be because you did something wrong. No. God uses those things of life in our lives to glorify him and to show his power. This woman had suffered for 12 years just for that moment of her faith that could be displayed to this multitude and throng of people that were there. Unencumbered, she bows down and she declares what she has had is a disease. She declares to him that he is the one simply by touching his garment. Not him touching her, no spittle to put on her eyes or anything of what we see with the other miracles, but the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit was upon him when God looked down as he was baptized and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." All the anointing of God himself flowed through Jesus Christ, not by what he spoke, not by who he touched, but even the fact of the clothes that he wore. And he could feel that power, that strength, a part of him, leave himself. Hence why he said, "Who touched me?" Even in the midst of a crowd of people, "Who touched me?" For he knew that someone had faith to believe in him that would be healed. She was not encumbered by what people would thought, or that they would tell her to leave, go away, get out of here. He's busy. We've seen this on several occasions where even the disciples came because the children came, even as we see children run up sometimes with us. You know, I'm often asked the question, if we bring our kids and they cry or whatever, does it bother you? It doesn't bother me a bit. I'm just hard-headed enough to keep going. Okay? I don't care if you get up and walk around. Now, if you disrupt the whole deal, that might be a different story, but you ain't bothering me. It's not my message. It's his. It's going to come out one way or the other. They were unencumbered. I want you to take a moment and think about your own life. Jesus was not ashamed for you and I. Why would we even give a thought about what people might think when we give him the glory for something he has done in our lives? Mike stood here and gave praise over a simple thing, that the alternator on the truck didn't burn up the day before, but it was the following day. You see, if we look, we will find that if God is in our lives doing things every day, we kind of lift it off a lot of times and say, "Wow, wasn't I lucky?" No, in God's grace, wonderful. He spared us from that. And you say, "Yeah, but his truck burned up." Yeah, but who got the glory? See, things happen that you and I, the other part is, somewhere along the way, God already has, or God will, give him a new alternator and the funds to put it on. He gave him the intelligence to work on it. God is in everything, folks. I have seen at this church where we pray over people getting new vehicles. I'll be the first to tell you, I pray over every new vehicle I get. I want God's anointing on that vehicle, and on my wife's vehicle, and on my son's vehicle, because he's the one that can protect them. That's great they got all the airbags and all the other stuff on it, as long as they work. See, I got a God that never not works. He's in it all the time. We look at those things. It is not luck, but we will see miracles when we look for it every single day in our lives. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and acknowledge him. Acknowledge what he has done. That thank you that is there, that acknowledgement that, wow, Lord, you know, if that alarm had gone off and I'd got up when I was supposed to, I'd have been right here where that big crash happened. Thank you for making me late today. Or whatever it might be. And unencumbered we should be to pronounce that to those that we come in contact with. Yeah, I'm late going to a meeting because there was a wreck in front of me. But praise God, had I been on time, I would have been involved. Because usually the first thing I hear out of folks something like that happens is, wow, you were lucky. No, I was protected. And I'll give him the glory. See, that's being unencumbered. A synagogue leader wasn't afraid of his title or any position that he had. We hear story after story after story in both the Old and the New Testament of how great our God is. Everybody ridiculed Job. He suffered the loss of everything. God turned around and gave him 100-fold that he might get the glory. It's not about you and I. It's about him. And more importantly, even God the Father, it's about his Son, Jesus Christ. Because he bore our nails. He bore the ridicule. He bore all that people could throw on him and all that the devil himself could throw. And praise his name, he lived perfectly honoring the Father and was resurrected. And through that, you and I can also. You and I have been reconciled when we accept Jesus Christ to be a member of God's household and family. Brother Jim Rose is a man. He'd be the first to tell you that. He'd be the first to tell you he made a lot of mistakes in his life. But he had a forgiving Lord that he followed and allowed him to touch his life, to influence the gospel with so very many. And he sits now at the feet of Jesus, just like all our loved ones that know Jesus Christ. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. Scripture tells us that no man can come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. The Word of God is true from cover to cover. No matter what anyone else wants to say or how they want to argue it, it's God's Word and He's the final authority. We're going to offer a very simple prayer. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.